It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I did it again, Nancy. I did it again.
That's such a very wide scope of a statement
to start the show today.
Right.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. So I did it again.
I hope I don't regret this.
Julie's like, "What did you do? Did we just do this?" I'm like, "We just did do this. Can you believe that?" I double jeeped.
You got a second jeep?
I wanted a beater jeep. I wanted like a rough and tumble.
Okay.
Like I wanted one that if I could off road. Because the first jeep I got was like not that. It was more like the metrosexual version of a jeep.
Yeah, it was fancy.
It's a fancy lugs jeep, a little bit, right? Like it doesn't have the jeep tires that you would normally see. It's got kind of highway tires.
It's
not
like mine.
No. So I'm not saying I felt like, you know what? We're going through Carapalooza right now, okay? Because all of our kids, needed new cars and the leases were up. And one, Luke got his own car, so now he's got his own vehicle. The other two were, I've got two cars with 200,000 plus miles on them.
I bet.
And it was just time. And the whole fleet came up for servicing at the same time. The whole Sassano fleet of automobiles.
Dude, I feel your
including
pain.
Julie's. And I said to Julie, we're not like super car people. Like I'm not like, you know what I mean? Like we like cars, but like we're not, I don't know. I don't think we're like most people that like, I don't know.
It's not like you have to have some kind of certain car.
Fancy car. Like, we're not fancy. Like, I like fancy cars. I'm just, like, not a fancy car guy.
Right.
Like, I like them. I can appreciate them. I love them. I think they're cool. I don't know that I want to own. I'm just rough on them. Like, my cars are like my blue jeans. I am rough on them.
Yep.
I'm rough on them. Like, I'm.
Me too.
I am. I just am. So when we had to go get Zoe, we had to get the kids a lease vehicle because, we didn't want to we didn't want to buy a bunch of cars, so we're like, let's lease this vehicle. I stumbled upon this white Jeep that I wanted. It's just a 2012 Sahara, right? And I looked at Julie and I'm like, what about that? She's like, what about that? I'm like, what about that? I'm like, as our like second, she's like, a second Jeep? We're going to be like his and hers Jeep couple? Like his and her, I go, yeah. Like,
she's going to have to start wearing flannel.
I go, let's go check it out. Like, let's go check it out. And we're looking at it and she's like, all right, I can get into this. And then she drops it on me. But I want your Jeep.
Oh.
You can have this Jeep because I don't do CD players, is what she said.
Oh. Like
I don't I need touchscreen and backup cameras. I don't do retro. So if you want to do your retro 2012 Jeep, can't believe 2012 she called it retro. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I'm double Jeep. I'm digging it. I like it. And it rides a little different. It rides a little firmer. Believe it or not. Even though the technology in my 2024 is or 2023 is, really good. I mean, I really like it. This ride's like, rides jeepy. Does that make sense?
Well, because there's a big difference.
There's a firmerness to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I like it.
Is it a two-door or a four-door?
Four-door.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love is it's got some age on it already.
Yeah.
I prefer the term patina.
Ah.
Patina versus like.
So are you going to glam it up?
Rust?
Are you going to do anything special?
Like I don't know, but this might be the Jeep I like put ducks in the window. Like this might be that Jeep.
Well, you
my
would
other
have
Jeep
to get
doesn't,
ducks in order to.
I know, but my other Jeep doesn't with the gray. It's just a different vibe. It's
it doesn't
a different,
get ducked next, ever?
No, you can't have colored ducks in the other Jeep. It just doesn't. I don't know. For me, it's a color scheme. It's gray. It's different. Like my white Jeep with colorful ducks, that might make sense for me. There might be a little bit more frivolity and fun in this Jeep, but that's exactly why I purchased it.
Right. How many miles does it have on it?
Like 60.
Oh, God, that's new.
Right?
Yeah.
For a 2012?
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
It's great.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Nice
I mean, I bought it for just
in.
Above 20. I was like, I was rolling in it. I mean,
you'll be able to get
I ended
parts
up, I got the extended
it.
Warranty because I'm like, why not? Like, in case anything goes wrong with it. But
hey, I've had so many Jeeps, and I tell you what, except for one issue, and it really wasn't a Jeep problem. It was a Uconnect problem with the actual radio.
Okay.
I have never had an issue with any of the Jeeps that I have driven ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Right.
They are fantastic.
So
in my experience.
We're a double Jeep family. Not that anyone really cared about that. It was cool. Important to me, and it's my show, so I get to talk about what I want. Right. But that said, Julie, in her infinite wisdom, you remember a couple shows ago we were talking about the heightened sense of urgency and paranoia in the service business?
Yes.
Okay.
And we couldn't define it.
And we couldn't define it, and there wasn't a word that was out there.
She found one.
We took 44, what took us 44 minutes to not solve, took her 4 seconds to solve. And she like yelled it from another room, I think, like, by the way, the word you're looking for is vigilant. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Heightened sense of awareness as it relates to difficulty or danger.
Yeah.
Difficulty. Or that is about as close as it's going to get to what we were describing as professional service paranoia.
Right.
She was like, hi.
Right.
Vigilance?
Well, if that word would have been in my thesaurus.
Okay. Had we kept looking for that word, we'd still both be on that show. That show would be a three-week running recorded show.
Right. Okay? Well, my thesaurus is from 1978, so.
Yeah, it's retro. Like, it's that words don't change that much.
Throws
do
in
they?
Your Jeep.
Do they? Yeah, throw it in the back of the Jeep. Okay.
No, but she's right. She's exactly right. That's the word we were looking for. Vigilant.
That's it. So I'm now that we've settled that, I wanted to talk about the crux of today's show because I got something that's I scratched the surface last week and I really didn't get to talk about it. But this new space that we're opening and our new service model that isn't out there is something that I want to focus on. And I want to do it also in terms of why we think about design and decoration differently. And every year I feel like I do a show about packing your plan and doing planning. And I want to cover some of that. And I absolutely do. I want to go down that road and I want to explore a little bit of that topic because I feel like people are still still winging it, you know? In fact, maybe it's easier to wing it these days because you can get information on your phone so fast that, you know, maybe you don't feel like you need to do the research because the research is sometimes now at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. So, and you know that it's there, right? It's like, you know, you're not trying to find a thesaurus. You got one in your hand and it's also your phone and it's also your TV. Like, it's like, it's all of these things to you. And I'm wondering how that being an ultimate tool or distraction, right? Let's just say that's the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
One is the ultimate tool, a life tool, and one can be ultimate distraction.
Uh-huh.
Being in the same device, you know, what role is that playing in our inability to really want to plan and research? Is it that we don't have time? Because it's certainly not that we don't have the resources. I've said this to you before, in the world of digital design, we have never had more resources. We've never had access to more advice. We've never had access to more stuff that, right, nationally, drop ship, like we've never had more access to stuff.
Right.
But are we better planners? And are we more prepared when we want to try to transition these rooms into something special? Are we prepared or are we just so used to winging it? Because of the way information comes at us so quickly, it can be accessed now so quickly. Is that a detriment, right? And in what ways is that a distraction? In what ways is that a tool?
I mean, if your client is standing there asking question and sees that you're Googling everything and you're not, and you haven't done research or you haven't.
Well, take it off me for a minute. Take it off me.
No, I mean,
obviously,
anybody.
I need to do my research.
Right. No, I mean, like anybody.
My job is to be prepared for my clients to have plans. Like
right.
My job is to put the plan together, right? That's my whole job, actually, is to put not just one plan, but like multiple plans together.
But no,
if you're just you. Like, is your tendency to just sort of, I'll figure it out?
But does that, see that tendency, that you say tendency, that translates to me to, if you are, I feel like you're being a little lazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just counting on it being at your fingertips and you're not researching and this goes for anything.
Yeah, this is anything.
And so, but when you're dealing with a client or a customer, does that give them that impression that you can't answer, that you keep having to rely on a resource instead of having the knowledge or experience, knowledge from experience or the experience in your head already.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we're going to cover a lot of topics on today's show, and one of them is going to be why we continually with projects keep, we start in the wrong place.
Mm.
We keep starting in the wrong spot. You know, it was interesting how two shows ago we talked about vision and then reverse engineering. Was that last week? We talked about vision, reverse engineering vision?
A little bit.
Yeah, we talked about what vision meant, right?
Right.
That
right.
Being a visionary did not mean being some sort of like aloof muse, right? He was just coming up with like futuristic ideas that they couldn't pull off. That being a real visionary, if you really want to pull it off, you actually have to tangibly reverse engineer it, communicate it, articulate it at a high level to get people to buy in, and then really make it granular.
You have to know how to get there.
And what needs to be achieved to be able to mm-hmm. accomplish the vision. And I feel like this is sort of a springboard from that show, but it's much more related to the home, and it's a little less big picture, right? It's more about, we are still finding multiple clients, and it's still so pervasive that you go into these environments where people want to have they want to do an addition or they want to do a big build. And we're still getting, even from service providers who are specifically contracted to assist these people, we are still getting plans that are thin, plans that are not as detailed as they need to be, plans that do not take into account the lifestyle objectives of the client. They're, you know, it's funny, there's a term in the business like, is the set permit ready? And that means knowing where all of the mechanicals are. That means we're knowing all of the appliances are. That means we're especially plumbing and electrical.
Right.
Right? It also comes down to interior finishes. Like, are your interior finishes called out? Is there a finishing schedule? Or do you just have lines on a paper and a few elevations that sort of show what is a sketch?
Right.
And I guess my critique right now of my own industry is, within the architectural realm and within the builder realm, depending on you know, some builders have an in-house architect and some people go hire an architect, which is absolutely the right place to start. Don't get me wrong. Yes, please start there. But one of the things that we're looking at is we're looking at these plans that are still coming to us that, when I ask the question, is this ready to go? And the client says, oh yeah, no, we've had multiple architectural meetings. It's ready to go. Well, are all your appliances set? Like, is this all the appliances you want? And is this exactly where you want them? Well, no. Like, we didn't really dig into where I exactly wanted them. They kind of put them where they thought they would go.
But that sounds to me like something drawn on a cocktail napkin.
Well, no. I mean, listen, it's part of the professional service profile right now. And a lot of architects, we're in this situation where it's sort of like, who should be having the real lifestyle discussions?
Right.
While you're developing the plan. And I'm going to tell you, when we come back from the break, you know, there is one service provider that's responsible for 60 to 70% of the cost driver on your remodel or your new build.
Hmm.
One single service provider is responsible for the cost driver and big shifts in budget, okay, on every remodel and every new build. When we come back from the break, we're going to tell you who that is. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And before we left for break, Nancy, I asked the question, because I do believe that increasingly, you know, I still have potential clients, and I still have a lot of people out there kind of starting their remodels in the wrong spot and then having to recover throughout the course of the remodel and or build. To try to sort of, you know, value engineer or select on the fly. And you know, that's something that we're, you know, we try not to, we don't espouse. Like, we just don't believe in that.
Well, I mean, how many times do you go over budget doing that?
Actually worse than that. And that's true. But even worse than that is, how many times do you just short sheet your design?
Yeah.
Do you cheat your vision?
Yeah.
Because you ran out of time.
Cut corners.
And you just wanted to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And you grabbed what was available at Home Depot or name your big box. Because it was "quote unquote" available, and you needed to get in.
Right.
I mean, that is when you're working on the projects that we work on. That is the last place you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before we left for break, we were talking about, you know, obviously in the last segment, we're talking about packing the plan and making sure that, you know, is the access that we have to information these days hurting or helping, right, our ability to actually plan remodels and new builds better, make selections, make decisions better. I think that there's a lot there to unpack. I don't know. In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. But I did say before the break, I sort of challenged the audience and I said, listen, there is one service provider, other than the client, there's one service provider that absolutely is responsible for roughly 60 to 70% of the cost of a renovation and a remodel and a new build.
Right.
And that person is your design team. Mm-hmm. That person is me. If you and I as a client, right?
Right.
Nancy, if you and I decide that porcelain is our preferred material for flooring, and that's in a 2,000 square foot renovation, or we decide marble's the difference, the delta is like 2 to 3 times
right.
greater. Mm-hmm. Now take all of those canvases from millwork to flooring to cabinetry to plumbing to everything. And anything in the home that has a shape or a color. Which is everything that has a shape or a color, right? Take all of that and then make the case for me as to why you're not starting with that particular professional in the beginning of the project to help you value engineer before you've even gone to permit. Mm-hmm. This is, and I will tell you, it is very interesting in the Geneva Lakes area. Everyone starts with the builder. In other parts of the country, they start with the architect and the design team. The architect and the design team pack the plan, and then they go research and find the builder, the remodeler, who can execute the vision that's in this plan.
Right.
Now, that sounds very logical. Like, it sounds very, very logical, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason in this particular area, and I don't know what it is about this area, we tend to have the builder reverse engineer bringing in the design talent and in some cases bringing the architect. I have to tell you that if the builder puts in marble or the builder puts in porcelain, that tile installer doesn't care.
Right.
There's nuances to putting in marble and obviously, there's technical expertise and there are nuances to that installation. But for the most part, material to material to material, okay? The particular installer is installing it one way, right? And in a way, in accordance with the design. But the material choice, style, quality, that driver is made by your design team in conjunction with your architect. Architect has control over a lot of square footage requirements, right? Which obviously overall square footage does play a role in, right? Cost of the home.
Of course.
I get that. No. Hold on. Time out. It depends on what I put in that square footage.
Right.
That really matters.
Right.
Not total price per square foot, because obviously you're not going to put the same price per square foot in your garage.
Right.
Right. Which doesn't even count in some square footage, but in your guest bedrooms, you may be putting something different than what you put in your primary. Mm-hmm. In a secondary kitchen or a lower level, you might be putting less money than you might on the first floor. Not about how much money you spend, but about where you spend it. Who's having that conversation with you? Who's the most qualified person to have that conversation with you? I have news for you. This might ruffle some feathers. It's not your builder. Mm-mm. It's not. Because what ends up happening is the builder then tries to reverse engineer the vision on the fly. And in some cases has already bid the job to you.
Right.
Countless clients over 25 years said, I wish I had gone to you first. I cannot tell you, Nancy, how many times I hear this.
Sure.
We have been keeping this, this has been something that's bothering me for a while. And I think this is the show that I'm just going to come out and say it. Y'all are starting in the wrong spot.
Uh-huh. Well, because you're giving your ideas, let's face it, they're ideas, to a builder. And then he's going to apply his standard practices to it. And then when you walk in and say at the next phase or whatever phase it is, well, I would prefer this flooring instead of this flooring. Well, then he's scrambling.
Well, here's what I do. Here's what I do.
Knowing ahead of time,
I,
because of a design.
I do find that, like most industries, and this goes for designers, this goes for architects, and yes, it does apply to builders, there is a certain amount of formula that starts to creep into their understanding of what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
If what you're recommending as your vision isn't their "we do it well" wheelhouse, okay? If it's not in line, then they're trying to level up to your vision from a clarity perspective at minimum.
Then they just
and
built.
Can their subs do that? And what we're finding is we are finding so often because, and it's interesting because I'm not having this same dynamic play out in Florida. I'm not having this same dynamic play out in Pennsylvania. I'm having this play out here in the Midwest, specifically in this region. And it is the fact that the clients should be starting for what that vision in the ideal should look like we talked about on last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reverse engineer to as close to perfection of that vision as you can get. And then you can reverse engineer it via cost. Okay? But you can't, it's really hard to do that, right? When you're already initiated the build.
Right.
You're already on the clock.
Because now they're building their house and not your house.
Well, and how many times do we hear, and listen, I was a former contractor. I know this happens. Everyone knows this happens. You want to install a material that they've never installed before? And they're like, "Oh, you don't want to use that." They start talking like Dave Wannstedt from the old Chicago Bear coach. You know, like, "You don't want to use that. That's you know, that's not going to hold up. I had another client use that, and it's a nightmare." Like, I am telling you, so often, CYA business practices, okay? And I've never really done that before, or I've never really seen that, plays into somebody tamping down, watering down, and to a certain extent, sanitizing your design vision. I'm not saying that the quality of the work's not going to be just fine. Not saying that. Not saying that the installer or the builder right. that you're recommending isn't going to do quality work. The difference is what are you? What is your vision, and are you going to get it for all of the money that you're spending? Right? For the time, the energy, the investment, the inconvenience, the hassle, are you starting in the right place to pack the best ideas and the best quality materials you can afford? Are you doing that from the beginning? Okay? Or are you starting in the wrong place? Mm. And I will tell you, the team of designer architect that I, when I'm seeing this play out well, what it does is it puts the builder in the position, it actually empowers the builder.
Right.
Because the builder has more information with which to create accurate numbers, an accurate timeline, and actually give more clarity and, dare I say, from 800 shows, alignment.
Right.
Your vision for what you want. Clients say this all the time. "Well, this is what I want." Okay, well, if what you want is this, this is what we're going to have to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The best person to make that, to help you reverse engineer that and give that analysis and provide that clarity, is your design team and your architectural team as a cohesive service unit. However, architects do this. Architects are way too late in the process, I'm finding, bringing in design teams.
Hmm.
There are ways to value engineer a home by right-sizing a room in a bedroom, for instance.
Okay.
I'll tell you this.
Right.
I'm finding closets don't need to be that small or that big. Bedrooms can be a little bit bigger, a little smaller. Hallways don't need to be that wide. Okay? Pushing and pulling the space to really make it livable. I'm going to tell everyone in the audience, do you realize that teams like the design coach and like us, we're the only ones with you after the final inspection. Do you realize we're the only service provider that's still there?
Right.
Making the house a home after all these people are gone. I'm not saying that you don't value the relationship and you don't know them and you don't love their work. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we're the ones responsible for, after the home is shaped, for taking that shape and turning it into something usable. Why are you bringing us in so late in the process? By the time you've gone to permit and I can't shape the space, then I'm left with the puzzle pieces y'all gave me.
Right.
And I'm doing my best to make it look great. That's not how this should work. If you're listening and you're an architect out there, I beg you, please start bringing in qualified design talent early in the process, because I am going to make your job easier.
Mm-hmm. And the builder.
And the build. No, I'm going to make everyone's job easier. I have literally walked into architectural meetings with builders that could not get the client over the hump for 5 or 6 meetings and had exterior finishes picked in 45 to 50 minutes. Why? Because I did pre-visualization for the client before the meeting. We did specific material selections on exact materials that we wanted to use on the house. And then at that meeting, we're able to provide that to the architect and the builder and said, figure it out. This is what we want to use. Tell me why we can't have it. And you know what I find? A lot of it's cost driven.
Of course.
They feel like they're doing you a favor by not showing you the quality of material because they're trying to keep, quote unquote, cost down. Yeah, if I wanted to do that, I would show you fast food furniture every day for your dining room.
Right.
If I was only interested in keeping costs down. Is that what you want for your legacy or your heirloom build? Is that what you want for one of the most important things people will embark on? These remodeling projects for a lot, these are big money. Mm-hmm. You know, people are spending so much money.
And
the responsibility on my part is to infuse the right level of quality.
And it doesn't matter what the size of the project is. It's still a lot of money to whether they're using you or whether, you know, they don't have.
And I want to be, and listen, I want to be very clear. I do not mean to discount the role of the builder. We love our builders that we work with.
I would think builders would look forward to having all of that
information. Oh my gosh, this is the feedback that we're getting nationwide in other states. It's like, oh my gosh, thank you for providing this awesome level of clarity. My team knows exactly what to do.
Right.
Right? And I already had the value engineer discussion with the client on the materials costs.
Right.
In fact, in some cases, we're supplying the material because then we're not turning the builder, who might not have a large staff, into an administrative staff to chase material. In some cases, in a lot of cases, our clients are just like, no, you handle it. Either I'm paying the builder the markup or I'm going to pay you the markup. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
You're handling the material. You're making sure it gets there in good shape. You're making sure it's right. You're securing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taken the administrative and logistical considerations off the builder and just made sure the material is there. I'm trying to stress in this segment, and I want to really expound on this in segment number 3, because I'm letting you know right now, this has been gnawing at me for a while. And if you really want to maximize a vision from a design perspective, it is imperative that you start with the right team at the right time in the right sequence. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I'm your host, Paul Sasano. All right, Nancy, lay it on me. You know you got thoughts. You got thoughts.
Well, I would think that part of the moral to this story is that if you want as close to the vision you have,
then you have to hire somebody who can actually help you see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
and is that your builder?
Right. Because the builder's going to come in. He's going to say, okay, well, we can do this, this, and this. That's, you know, because some builders have limitations. I would think.
All builders have tendencies.
All builders have the
same subs that they like to use.
Right.
Who like to do things in a routine way, because there's a lot of reasons why formula kills creativity.
Right.
Formula is vanilla ice cream. Formula is chocolate ice cream.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I would think that you take your vision to a designer. The designer gets with the architect, and then you look for a builder that will do what you need done in order to get to where you want to be.
It's not just any builder. It is the way these spectacular spaces that you see in Instagram that you're loving, that all you're doing is loving, 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 and then why? And then you're wondering why you can't pull it off.
Right.
Right? It's because you're not hiring this, and this is where this is going to go. It is not about you coming to me with your vision. 99% of my clients don't have one. They don't have a vision in their head of what
they want. Well, they have thoughts.
No. They don't have a vision. It's not cohesive.
Right.
Okay?
It's not together.
I hate to say this. When you all come to me, you're like, your creative larva. You're messy, and I got to sift through a lot of stuff, and I got to put you in a cocoon
to get to the butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And that cocoon is my studio. And if you don't like that analogy, don't care. It really does fit.
That really does.
Because
yeah.
you're messy. You come to me and you're contradictory in what you like and don't like. You like multiple styles. You're not sure if it's gold or silver. You're not sure if it's flannel or plaid or not plaid. You're not sure if it's solid or calm or you're not sure. You're not sure. Okay. And we take you in and we're like, that's okay. Like we understand you're kind of a creative hot mess. Okay.
You also listen but to we what also they don't
make,
say.
But we don't make you feel bad about it.
Right.
And what we do is we're saying our job is specifically to glean from a process, a really good creative process, what the lifestyle objectives are. In other words, how do you want to live? And that gets at function. That gets at design. Okay. And then on the decoration side, because remember, we separate in our studio design from decoration. Design in our world is kind of function. It's probably more function heavy. Style is more decoration heavy.
Right.
Okay. And then there are crossover finishes in things like building materials like lighting and cabinetry, color and hardware, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But what I'm saying is when we get you, we're trying to ascertain and we're trying to pull from you the things that really matter, that make your house a home, and the memories you're trying to reverse engineer in every room, and then create a functional plan and a decorative plan that weaves those two together seamlessly, that feels more like you than me. You heard me say on last week's show, and we talked about vision, right? I want two outcomes for our company. One, do our clients love where they live? And two, do they have a style they can call their own? That's our focus. Tell me who's better prepared to have those discussions, the architect, the builder, or your design team? I will tell you every time my design team and design teams across the country are the ones more qualified to have lifestyle discussions than most architects.
Of course.
And definitely most builders.
Right.
So why are you bringing in the designers and decorate? Why are you bringing us in so late?
Because people...
No, it's to save them money. Here's what you hear.
No.
I don't want to spend the money on a decorator. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you know how much money and time we can save you
right.
with a good plan?
That's the thing is because when you say design, people think interior design. And that leads to color, pillows, fabrics. That doesn't lead to in normal people who aren't in this industry, who are just building or remodeling. And
maybe that's the purpose of today's show.
Right.
Like
that's not what designers do. Get rid of the word interior.
Not the best designers. The best designers consult inside and out.
Right.
I mean, right now, I mean, this week on our Instagram, I just, we posted a, you know, we have clients all the time who are looking to take a property that they bought because they, they're like, okay, we love this property. We love the land. We love the location. I don't really want to knock it down because we don't really need to knock it down.
Right.
And that's a whole nother story about like to knock down or not knock down. That's a whole nother story, a whole nother show. But I will tell you that when we are consulting from porch to pier. Up here in the Geneva Lakes area, down in Florida, from Gulf to Gate. We are taking a holistic approach to the view of these properties and how clients want to utilize them and love them.
Right.
And that's our focus from the get-go. I don't want you to like a room. I want you to love a room regardless of the size. That's how when I say, you might not be able to build your dream home, but you can build dream rooms within a home, and all of a sudden, it's a dream home.
Right.
Okay?
Well,
for those of you who are taking notes, I'm going to say that again. You can build dream rooms within a room, within a house that's not your dream house. And it will make you love your home. It'll make you love where you live. Okay? You might not have some of the things you might have in your ultimate house. Okay? Right? But everybody can build a dream room regardless of the size. So why aren't we starting with that? Why aren't we starting with the discussions up front? I know you don't know what your vision is, and that's totally okay with us here at The Design Coach. That's awesome. In fact, we specialize in people who are totally conflicted and confused.
I was going to say, if people had vision, you wouldn't have a job.
Like, we hear this so often. It's crazy how it's like, I wish I would have had you then.
I'm sure.
I would have done things differently. Isn't that the worst feeling you can have after spending, in some of these cases, you know, millions of dollars on a renovation or a new build, to say I would have done something differently had I known?
Well, because it's a pain in the rear when, and you think about it every single time when you go to that, whatever, that room, the area in the room that just isn't quite what you intended. And it, again, is because you did not go to your designer first. I mean,
but like listen, Nancy, you know this. Everybody runs to the fun. Every client sure. wants to run to, how does it feel? What's the color? I want this. And they don't even know what, like, I'm uncomfortable. Well, that could mean a million things stylistically.
Right.
Like, comfortable in a Ralph Lauren vibe that's VIP New York penthouse is way different than, like, shabby chic.
Right.
Right? California coastal. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, they're both comfortable. The styles are totally
That doesn't
different.
Tell me anything.
But
right.
Yeah, that tells me nothing. Right. So all your buzzwords don't mean anything. Inviting. I have no idea what that means right now until we talk a little bit more. Right.
Right? Everybody.
So our job is to help them use their creative big person words. It is.
The
That's
fancy
our job.
Words.
That's our job. And our job is to sort of attack this from this really fun angle. And I think that that's what we do. But let's just get away from the fun for a minute. Let's just go to financial, right? Because I've got a bunch of guys out there who are like scratching their face right now, and they're like, I don't know what he's talking about. I got a builder. I got the best builder around. Like, great. Like, okay, maybe you do. Maybe you do. Okay. And I'm not saying that you don't. Here's what I am saying is that I'm pretty sure if you started with the builder and not the design team, I'm pretty sure you left creative capital on the table. There were ideas you didn't get.
Right.
You didn't get because we're the ones with the macro view of all of these materials because we've used them. We've had clients experience them. All we do is search for new materials. That is not what most builders do. And also, it's not what most architects do. Okay? The design team, we're a bunch of hunting and gathering creative Indiana Joneses. That's kind of what we do, regardless of style. Like, if you can envision right, that, like, we love hunting and gathering on your behalf right. to help you build your vision.
Right.
So let's just say, take the fun out of it for a minute. Let's just say financially, you're like, okay, if I'm responsible as the creative for helping you make good decisions, and we're together as a team, Nancy, you and I, design team / client, are responsible for driving 60 to 70% of the cost of that remodel or new build, why in the world are you bringing me in the ninth hour?
Because now you're going to be responsible for a lot more than 60 or 70%. Of the cost well, because not, of potential changes.
Not just that, but you potential. Don't have the, you don't, how could you even begin to send this thing out for bid? Like, why would you begin to send this out for bid? And then what? You're gonna basically take the world of tradesmen and tradespeople who are gonna bid this thing. You're just gonna kind of amalgamate together with whatever they think their best solution is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that really how you wanna do it?
Well, that's standard.
Like, is that really how you would wanna do it? Or, for instance, what if you just took the analogy and you said, okay, I'm making dinner and everybody's going to bring an ingredient. Everybody's just going to bring an ingredient. We're going to make a dish, right?
We'll see what happens.
And we're going to make a dish and you give them a general theme like Italian and everybody brings whatever, right?
And maybe we can eat it.
And you're going to do your best to kind of glue the ingredients together to come up with this amazing dish that everyone's going to love. Okay. Would you ever do that? Or is it just easier to be like, I need a chef.
Right.
And what's the menu? And ooh, by the way, the chef can customize the meal. Right?
Right.
We're customizing your meal.
Right.
And it's the meal and the visual food and the visual nourishment you're going to eat visually for a really long time. Why? Why would you just not start with us?
That's the best analogy.
The clients who've done this, and it's interesting. Listen, all I'm doing is telling you the disservice that's being done to you out there. Because I'm not telling you, our clients aren't experiencing this. Our clients are getting with us early, and we're having the right conversations at the right time to make great decisions, to value engineer, right? With great planning. And we're trying to do that not under duress, okay? But we're very good at packing the plan very quickly. So therefore, right? We're very good and we're very skilled as a design coach team for trying to like pull the vision out from whatever's in that brain of yours and whatever Instagram, mishmash, Pinterest, you know, I don't know, collage that you've got put together that looks part ransom note, okay? and part House Beautiful, but it's again like, okay, what about this picture? Do you like? There's 800 things in here, and they all cost like five figures. So can we?
Well, I just like the style of that.
That doesn't work. I like the style. And then you're going to ask, I mean, are you really going to ask? I mean, are you leaving your creativity? No offense, guys, but stop leaving it up to the builder.
Right.
Please stop doing that. Please understand that there are people that the best spaces that you see, I mean, this is me sticking up for my industry. This is me sticking up for the value of the design team. And not just at the Design Coach.
Right.
But across the country and definitely in this area, in the Geneva Lakes area. Designers and their vision and their ability to reverse engineer the vision into a tactical and applicable materials application is invaluable and can make your job go faster. And in the end, we're also the ones for making the client feel great about the decision. Okay? In segment number four, we're going to wrap this all up in a bow and stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. It's interesting. And by the way, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And listen, we're highlighting something that I think has been a problem in our industry for a very, very long time, especially here in the Midwest. And I don't quite know what the dynamic is here, but and it could be regional. But I'm letting you know that for, I don't know, far too long, 27 years we've been doing this now, 26 years we've been doing this, we're still seeing clients start in the wrong spot. And there's a reluctancy to bring in your creative teams early. Because, Nancy, like you said off air in the break, people think design is decoration. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, maybe as a profession, we haven't done a good enough job expressing to people how valuable we can be with material selections, both inside and out. I mean, I'm going to give you a really good example. There are several builds that we completed over the past 2 or 3 years where our specific objective to begin the project was to pick exterior, right? You know, you got to get the house under roof, right? You got to get it under roof. So you got to get it conditioned before you can do the finishes on the interior. So the exterior considerations and what this house is going to quote unquote look like need to be tackled in the beginning part of the project. Mm-hmm. You don't figure out what color the roof's going to be later. Okay. You do it now. You do the best job with visualization and material selections as early in the process as you can for all things.
So can we just do like a very simple example of this? There are different materials on the inside and the outside of a house that require during the build different base materials. So for instance, in a bathroom that you're going to, and this is so basic, but a bathroom that you're going to tile, you can't put drywall up and then glue tile to it. You can't, you know, there's, you know what I mean?
Like you can in a wet space, but.
Right.
But here,
so
here,
I you guess can't. It, yeah. So that's where, that's the reason why.
But
is because a certain material
no,
requires
cause
something underneath
and you
as
just,
well.
But you just triggered this. And this is exactly, this is great discussion, Nancy. That triggered something within me. The same way some people within, let's just say you have a couple that comes into you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same way that. Some people want to run to the fun. They want to run to the decoration.
Right.
The look, the feel, the comfort, the inviting, the style, the whatever. And there's a lot more work that goes into it before you get there.
Right.
Some in that same tandem want to run to financial. This is where the problem is.
Right.
How much am I going to spend? I don't even want to embark on it if I can't afford it. Or I want the lowest price and I'm going to try to get my builder to commit to some price per square foot.
And then hold
to
it.
With no design direction whatsoever.
Right.
That is... And it's interesting because builders are equally as frustrated with this conversation also because they have to compete against one another for some, you know, for some bid. And you know who's putting everybody in that position? The client.
Right.
You are doing yourself a disservice from the beginning, running at price per square foot and asking your builder to give you a bid with no design specificity.
I can't believe they will.
No, they do. And sometimes they're super ambiguous about it. And then clients will sign contracts for multi-million dollar homes, and then it's just a trust me exercise. Okay? Which, in our estimation of the Design Coach, is too big. It's too big a decision. It's too big a life-changing, and it's too great of a creative opportunity to be treated that way. I'm not saying that price per square foot isn't in the calculus of these decisions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you got to weight it. You got to weight it appropriately. Because I can tell you, I have seen clients tell me they need a 7,000 square foot home, and we've been able to shrink it to 5, and they got everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think they did that?
Through design and materials applications, not how much they spent, but where.
Through the assistance of the design team.
Right.
And on the advice of the architect. But I'll be honest, with the architect, I don't know. I don't know many architects that are really, really ingrained in the kitchen design.
Right.
Our industry has become so splintered and specialized that all of a sudden it's like, well, we'll send you the cabinet person. And it's funny because the same thing happens on the micro level. Here's a really good example. The builder will get involved and they're like, well, the builder doesn't really do the kitchen design, so let's send you a kitchen designer. Right? And then you got a kitchen designer who's another creative putting an aesthetic together who then is supposed to blend that kitchen with the what? The way the rest of the home is supposed to feel?
Right.
When that's not really what they're tasked for. So who has the macro vision of how to tie the whole home together?
Not the builder.
Okay. It's the design team. In addition to that, you know what else ties a home together? Millwork. Do you know how many plans we're getting that are millwork light? Where I have to literally build the millwork package in the framing stage? Do you know how big a cost driver flooring, millwork, and tile and cabinetry are?
Oh.
Massive.
Massive.
And what does everybody love about homes, especially older homes or newer homes that are made to look old? Millwork.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no one ever said, no offense to Mr. Drywall. Oh my gosh, what amazing drywall you have.
Right.
Said no one ever. 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 Ever, 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 ever.
No.
Okay. So, therefore, the charm costs. The quality costs. Okay. Our job as designers is to apply the right level of investment per room. We break down projects room by room, build element by build element, and in some cases, trade by trade to say, this juice is worth the squeeze and this is not visually. And here's how your want or your need as expressed to us right now affects that balance. We're the only ones with the macro view, ladies and gentlemen. I am letting you know the design team, and especially teams like the design coach, is the only one with the macro view. When you make a bail to asphalt versus a paver and don't think about a combo asphalt paver, because no one brought that up, they brought you the false choice of paver or asphalt or concrete, and no one ever told you you could blend those materials together successfully, it's because it's a lazy service provider mindset. They want to make the money and they want to move to the next project.
Cookie cutter.
Yes.
And then their expectations.
I think everyone's project is too special for vanilla. I just think everyone's project is too. If you want to do that, buy a spec house.
Exactly.
Just buy a spec house. You were able to weigh in on some minimal finishes. And you can decorate it all you want.
But that's why I'm saying what you're telling people.
In the world of custom remodel, custom renovation, custom new build, oh my gosh, please start with the people who have the ideas and who know how to pull them off and can advise you accordingly. And not with a flavor palette of 3 flavors.
I mean, that's why I'm saying that it's so important, you know, that what you're saying is so important that you go to the builder. I'm stunned that builders would risk giving estimates when they have no idea exactly what they're estimating.
No, they do it on allowance.
Right.
They give you ranges.
But they do it through
change orders, which is frustrating. I'm not saying that the models out there for builders aren't successful. I'm not saying they haven't built beautiful homes.
Of course not.
What I'm saying is that the process left creative capital and creative cash on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You did not get all of the options that were probably out there that maybe you deserved to hear. You did not avail yourself to the world of the amazing materials possibilities that really only designers have the front row seat on, or the knowledge of. if we're responsible for the cost driver, then why are you leaving us out of the mix? And in some cases, bringing us in after you've closed on the build.
I mean, that's the thing, is they think that you're going to come in and make it custom. And that's not
It's custom from the while the pencil is still on the paper.
Yeah.
And the marker is still on the vellum at the architectural office. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to hear architects talk about why they don't want to bring in design talent, to be able to help them. Well, listen, if you have an in-house design team, I get it. If you already have somebody on your staff who's providing that service, that's fine. Okay.
But are they?
Well, but are they? Or are you going to an architect like a designer and like a builder because you like their style? Now, that's different.
Okay.
Okay? There are builders in the Geneva Lakes area where you know that that's that builder's house.
Right.
You just sort of know.
Right.
You look at it, you kind of know.
And if you like it, great.
And you like it. And listen, I'm not begrudging it, but it's the same thing with designers. There are designers, you go to their Instagram, the homes are relatively the same relative style. People like that style. Congratulations. That's awesome for you.
Sure.
Okay. It's just not what we do with the design coach.
I mean, the word custom.
The word custom, right?
Yeah.
Tailored, curated, has to start from the very beginning of the project. Before you've dug the hole and before you've filed the permit. In fact, I'm experiencing this right now on the commercial side because you know who does it differently? Commercial projects. Mm. There's an upfront finishing schedule because the people who are investing the money in these projects want it detailed. They have a budget for their build. So X amount of corporation that's looking to create a headquarters has a budget for the build and they don't want to go over. They have capital expenditures that they've accounted for this and they don't really want to go over. So the commercial world is forced to be detailed. In residential, I have news for you. Everyone, if you're listening, it's the Wild Wild West. I hate to tell you that. It kind of is. And so you want builders who give you transparency on cost. You want architects who can itemize their fees. You want, in our case, our design team gives you financial transparency, cost plus also. Not a lot of designers do that. We'll show you what we're making on everything we sell you. Mm-hmm. And we have no problem showing you. Because what it does is it builds the trust and then you just keep giving us more business.
Right.
We don't do this designer discount of 20% on, you know, some imaginary price. I want you to have two takeaways from today's show. Takeaway number one is, if you want to create a vision, you have to start with the visionary who can actually help you articulate it and define it and then refine it. And two is, you got to pair that visionary with an architectural team that can make your plans as thick, as packed, and as detailed as possible. Then go find a builder and go get bids. Okay? That's the sequencing that works. That's the sequencing I'm espousing on today's show. You want to know more about what we do? You want to get in contact with me? Go to thedesigncoach.com. You can get in touch with us and we can walk you through the whole process. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with me. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.